Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me again today. Today we're going to be doing Lesson 16. This is your host, Brother T, your tour guide through the workbook lessons this year, 2020, the new decade, the new year. If this is your first time visiting with us here on blocktalkradio.com/course mastery, you can also do a search and find us at the best hour. If this is your first time here with us today, I sincerely appreciate you taking a listen and maybe learn a little bit about, you know, our method, our process of what we're doing here with A Course in Miracles. And I really appreciate you joining in. My name again is Brother T, and if you want to go back and look at the former lessons, they're stored here on blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. And you can pick us up there and learn a little bit more about the stuff we've already covered, if you will. We're going to jump in today, and we're still focusing on thoughts. And we're going to jump in today on our thoughts. And this lesson today, number 16, here for January 16th, says, I have no neutral thoughts. Now, one of the primary tenets of what we're teaching as our curriculum through A Course in Miracles, and is really the curriculum of awakening, and it is coming in so many different ways now through so many different sources. But A Course in Miracles, and a lot of times students will ask me, well, you know, what's the best way to study? And my teachers, and I think they were very wise in their response to my question, you know, should I be studying something else along with A Course in Miracles? Should I be reading something else? What should I be doing? If this is your first time through A Course in Miracles, then I would like to suggest for you that you dedicate this year to A Course in Miracles and set aside whatever else, you know, you can. To just make this your primary spiritual study for give it 1 year. You know, just give it 1 year of dedicated time. Then once you've gone through this course for a year, and if you've read through the textbook and the manual for teachers, and you've done the 365 workbook lessons, well then absolutely you're going to want to pick up some other information, and, you know, we'll be referring to and talking about some of those other sources. But for your first year in A Course in Miracles, I'll just say for my first year in A Course in Miracles, dedicating my full time to this course so that I could really begin to understand, because it is such a foundational, fundamental transformation of thought. It is a complete thought reversal system. In and of itself, it's complete, as I've shared before, but it is a thought reversal system that is so profound and so in reverse, if you will, of the world's teaching of fear and all the ramifications that go with that. You really will do yourself a favor if you can just allow yourself to, for 1 year, be immersed in this teaching. And I promise you, you will have peak spiritual experiences. You will have fundamental changes in the way you see the world. And you will absolutely, I really believe, you will absolutely experience more peace and joy in your life. And you know what? The people around you will experience more joy and peace in their lives too as a result of your work, because we are all joined in mind. I have no neutral thoughts. The idea for today is a beginning step in dispelling the belief that your thoughts have no effect. Everything you see is the result of your thoughts. There is no exception to this fact. Thoughts are not big or little, powerful or weak. They're merely true or false. Now let's think about that for just a minute. Give it a minute to settle in. They're not big or small. They're not strong or weak, thoughts. They are merely true or false. They are merely true or false. Those which are true create their own likeness. Those which are false make theirs. In other words, they make something in their own likeness. Now notice the distinction here. I think it's important to catch this distinction that he's saying that true thoughts are creative, but false thoughts make instead of create. And he's using this terminology because he wants us to understand that what we make out of the mind of fear, the mind of the ego self, and all of its thoughts, and this is important, are false. Made in error. All of his thoughts are not true thoughts, so they must be false thoughts. Yes? All of its thoughts. And he makes a very big distinction here. And what we make, in other words, if thoughts are creative, and they are, thoughts are things, is one of the ways that we talk about it in our study groups, that they are creative, or that thoughts are things and thoughts make things, if you will. They create or make based on their source. We could put it that way. And their source is either from the mind of fear or the mind of love. Truth or false. Fear or love. Fear being false, love being true. Those which are true create their own likeness. Those which are false make theirs. There is no more self-contradictory concept than that of quote-unquote idle thoughts, which gives rise to the perception of a whole world can hardly be called idle. What gives rise to the perception of an entire universe, a whole world, can hardly be called idle thoughts. Every thought you have contributes to truth or to illusion. Every thought, either it extends the truth or it multiplies illusions. You can indeed multiply nothing, but you will not extend it by doing so. You can indeed multiply nothing. And when he's saying nothing here, he's referring to illusion. We add illusions on top of illusions. From the mind of ego, the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of guilt, the thoughts of insanity, because we are creative beings, extensions of the love of God, extensions of the force, energy, I don't know what to call it except just the energy of creation, the power of creation, then even thoughts of a small-minded self, false ideas, create illusions. An example, and we'll keep referring to this again and again and again, is the thoughts that you had last night when you were sleeping created a whole world out of illusion, and it was all illusory. And you woke up this morning, and when you woke up, that world, that whole construct based on false ideas that you were somewhere that you were not, because where were you? Safe at home in bed, even though you were unconscious of it. Safe at home in bed, but you had created a whole universe, literally a whole world, if you will, of illusion. So you can indeed multiply nothing. We could say that the dreams we had last night were nothing, yes. And every thought that we gave our awareness to, every thought that we gave our energy to, it literally played out as illusion after illusion after illusion, drama after drama. Did you remember your dreams when you woke up? Yeah, briefly, for a few moments this morning. I could remember very briefly because I was still kind of, when I was fading in and out of the dreamscape, they were very present. Every thought you have contributes to truth or to illusion. Either it extends the truth or it multiplies illusions. You can indeed multiply nothing, but you will not extend it by doing so. So we could say from this paragraph that truth is extended because it's eternal, it doesn't go away. So it's not done over. It's not a retake or remake, right? It's not being made. Creation is the extension of truth, and it's all eternal. It just keeps growing, if you will, or extending, getting more. There's more and more creation happening all the time. It never ends. Creation never ends. Thoughts of love, we could say then, never end. In addition to never being idle, salvation requires that you recognize that every thought you have brings either peace or war, either love or fear. This is such a powerful sentence. Every thought. He's not saying almost every thought or some thoughts. He's saying every thought. This is very literal. Every thought. That you bring, that you have, brings peace or war, either love or fear. A neutral result is impossible because a neutral thought is impossible. Thoughts are things. Thoughts are creative. There's no way of getting around it. Every thought that you have brings either peace or war. There is such a temptation to dismiss fear thoughts as unimportant, trivial, and not worth bothering about that it is essential that you recognize them all as equally destructive but equally unreal. All the thoughts that we had last night that contributed to and made up our experience of dreaming all night long, can we apply this sentence to that? Absolutely. Even if they were thoughts of fear, we could say that they were unimportant or trivial and not worth bothering about, but those thoughts of fear, if we had thoughts of fear in our dreams last night, we would have created a drama and an experience that multiplied the experience of fear. They are important. And we could say that they're destructive because they destroy our peace of mind. They distract us from the truth, from what is real, from our true self. We will practice the idea for today in many forms before we really begin to understand it. I have no neutral thoughts. In applying the idea for today, search your mind for a minute or so with your eyes closed and actively seek not to overlook any little thought which tends to elude the search. This is quite difficult until you get used to it. You'll find that it's still hard for you not to make artificial distinctions. Every thought that occurs to you, regardless of the quality which you assign to it, it's a suitable subject for applying today's idea. In the practice periods, first repeat the idea, and then as each one crosses your mind, hold it in awareness while you tell yourself, this thought about blank, whatever it is not a neutral thought. This thought about blank, or that thought about blank, whatever it is not a neutral thought. And as usual, use today's ideas whenever you're aware of a particular thought, which arouses uneasiness. The following form is suggested for this purpose. This thought about whatever that thought is that's creating some uneasiness is not a neutral thought because I have no neutral thoughts. I have no neutral thoughts. So one of the fundamental first principles that we teach, and I say we as me and my mighty companions, if you will, my wife and I teach classes and we teach groups of people and we teach in communities. And one of the very first principles that we try to help people to grasp and get our head around is that thoughts are things, which is what this lesson is saying. I have no neutral thoughts. Every thought has an energy field. It is an energy field. It's almost like a loudspeaker when you go into a sanctuary at a community church, or you go into the you get in your car and you turn up your stereo, you know. Maybe you have one of those surround sound systems on your TV at your home, right? And you have an appreciation for quality sound, right? But if you turn up the sound, if you turn up the volume, you can literally feel the pressure. And in some situations, if you've ever been pulled up to a red light next to someone that had one of those, they call them subwoofers in their car, you can't hear hardly anything except the thump, thump, thump of the subwoofer. I mean, you can't hear what song they're listening to, really. You just hear the thumping of the bass sounds, the lower octave sounds, because they're very, very powerful, huge wave fields. Every thought is like, it's almost like us being that loudspeaker, if you will, and it creates a vibration. It is a vibration. It is an octave. It has an energy, and it goes out into the universe. And the universe that we're experiencing, if you'll allow me to say it this way, is reflective. In other words, it responds and reflects back that vibration. When we project thoughts, or we hold thoughts, we're holding these thoughts in our mind of anger or fear, or frustration, or depression, or anxiety, or pride. I mean, we could go down the list. There's lots of attributes to these lower energy octaves that are so pronounced to us experientially that we actually have names for them. You know, this is a thought of fear. We recognize it. This is a thought of anger, which is a defense because we're feeling fearful. This is a thought of shame. This is a thought of guilt. This is a thought of anxiety. This is a thought of worry. These are attributes that we have defined as labels, if you will, for vibrational frequencies. Thoughts are things. I have no neutral thoughts. So if I'm holding any of those thoughts, they go out into the universe. The mind, really, right? And it reflects back. And when we look at our sleeping experience at night, that's exactly what's happening there. Those thoughts go out into our mind, the field of our mind, and images that are in alignment with that thought, the vibration of the thought, the frequency, vibration, or octave, however you want to say it, of the thought, those images come back to us as images that we're seeing streaming across our conscious mind. And it looks like we're walking through a world, a universe that looks like this one that we're experiencing right now today, right? In this now moment. And as we're experiencing this now moment, everything around us, and we've been looking at all of the things around us saying, well, this has no meaning, but thoughts are not neutral. Where things that we're experiencing are literally reflections of a vibration that we are a thought, if you will, that we have given our awareness to, a vibration or a frequency or an octave that we've given our awareness to that has shown up now in the world of form, the world of image, and it's surrounding us. It's reflecting back to us our thoughts, thoughts that we've held. We are unimaginably powerful, literally. We really are. Extremely powerful. So, thoughts are things. And so the training of A Course in Miracles and this training of this entire curriculum, the textbook, the workbook, it all works together, helps us to go around and around, if you will. We'll take a principle like I have no neutral thoughts, and it's like a bouquet in the center of a table, a round table. And we'll have a set at the table, and we're going to look at this because this is a benevolent teaching. This is a teaching of freedom from false concepts, from false ideas, from a false construct of mind, from a false perception of who and what we are. We begin to shake loose of the imprisonment that we've surrounded ourselves with, of all of the things that are around us that are reflecting back to us that if we're holding a thought, an idea, and we keep holding that idea, then we'll begin to see validation because the world is reflective. The universe is reflecting it back to us as a vibration. And what we're going to see is validation. And then we establish what we call a belief. Yes, people don't like me. I'm not worthy of love. We've got all kinds of negative thoughts. And so those thoughts will come back and validate that very idea that we're holding. And people will show up that are in alignment with that frequency, literally. And they're really attracted to us because they are resonating with the same octave energy vibration frequency that we're holding. And then we look at that experience of the world and think to ourselves, yep, I'm right. See, the ego loves to be right. And we have established a experience for ourselves called the world of separation. We have mandated and established and to anointed ourselves to be in a field that literally plays back to us so that we feel right. The ego's created this environment so that it can say, yes, I'm right, over and over and over and over again. It's amazing. Cunning and baffling is another term that comes up for the strategy that the ego has employed in this field that we have created. Just like the dreams we had last night, we create a field where images are continuously showing up that are in resonance and in alignment with the thoughts that we're holding, the vibration, the frequency, the energy that we're holding, and it shows up as our experience. It's amazing. It also can be very imprisoning. We can be hoodwinked, completely hoodwinked by it, so that we really do not even recognize that it's a false construct, that it is illusion, because it all begins with the thought that we are holding now. So everything we're experiencing today, we could say then, is a shadow, a reflection of the thoughts that we've held yesterday, sometime in the past, maybe even in a prior lifetime, whatever the case may be. And yes, other people are creating experiences, holding energies of thoughts, the vibrations of those thoughts, and they're experiencing their reflections, and we get aligned with other people, and we're experiencing similar experiences together. It's crazy. I mean, it really is. It's astounding that if we can really begin to accept that this is the truth, the truth of where and what we're experiencing, then we began to see why we've been told that all power under heaven and earth is ours. Because if we want to change our experience, it only begins with us changing the thoughts that we're holding. And through the Course in Miracles, we began to see that there is an access point that we can discover that's available to us. It's always been available to us, and we can begin to discover it through this practice. And yes, we've got some work to do to get this fundamental principles down. But once we begin to accept these principles and we begin to really practice and apply the methodology that will be presented to us here about how to discover and access and then maintain and eventually sustain the connection that's available to us with truth, that is, with our higher self. And of course, in Miracles, he refers to it as the Holy Spirit, but it's nothing more than your right mind. It is you, the part of you that is the creator, the part of you that is the God self, if you'll allow me to say it that way, the true self, the higher self, the self that has no thoughts of illusion, because it's the self that is really, if you will, in resonance with the thoughts of God. We could even say, for just an idea of clarification, that's really connected to the voice, capital V, voice of God. The thoughts of God are creative, and they're always thoughts of love. So in the practice period today, first repeat the idea, and then as each one crosses your mind, I have no neutral thought. So as each thought crosses our mind, we're going to say this thought about whatever is not a neutral thought. We're just repeating. It's almost like a little mantra, right? Not a big deal. We don't have to get too worked up about it. We're just trying to let this settle into and reestablish a new way of thinking as a response to what we're experiencing in the world. That thought about whatever blank, whatever we want to fill in there, is not a neutral thought. So whenever you are aware of a particular thought which arouses uneasiness, then use this form, right? This thought about whatever is not a neutral thought because I have no neutral thoughts. 4 or 5 practice periods are recommended now for today. And you'll find this, you know, you'll find them, he's saying, you'll find them relatively effortless. If strain is experienced, 3 will be enough. He's not pushing you to be uncomfortable. The length of the exercise period should also be reduced if there's discomfort. There's nothing to be discomfortable. He's not trying to induce discomfort. But I will say this, okay? What would the discomfort be indicative of? It would be indicative of this self that we've defined ourselves to be, that we believe ourselves to be, that holds value in all of the constructs of its definition of the way things work, the world, if you will, the world thought system, the thought system of fear, the ego self. When it begins to feel challenged, and it does, that it's losing its grip, and what is it losing its grip of? Its ability to maintain, sustain your attention. You giving that mind, that thought stream, all the power of your awareness. And that's how it survives. That's how it persists and continues. The one thing that that mind cannot defend itself against is our ignoring it. So with that said, my brothers and sisters, we're going to let it go. We're going to let it all go. I love you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Stay the course. We'll see you then.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created, and which you love. Amen.
send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and into